A lot of home runs last night. Javier Baez, Chris Carter, Dustin Ackley, Colton Wong. Everybody's going yard. Welcome to the show. It's Fantasy Baseball Today. It's Friday, August 8th. We'll help you out with your Week 20 lineup. Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. Yeah. I don't know.
Manufactured excitement.
It's not there, is it?
No, it is. It is.
You got to dig down deep, Adam.
No, I disagree. That's not what was happening there at all.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I didn't mean for it to come off that way. It was a pretty interesting day yesterday. Colton Wong is the number one second baseman in fantasy since he came off the DL. Chris Carter's crushing it. Two more home runs. Caleb Joseph's homered in four straight games. A lot of hitting. Watched Adam Wainwright pitch last night. Did not reach 90 miles per hour one time when I saw him. Of course, I tuned in after like the first three innings.
You didn't even mention Javier Baez, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was part of my what you perceived as fake intro.
Oh.
Well, if you want to email us, it's fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and please put baseball podcast or grade the trade or approve the move, something that I know it's baseball podcast related in the subject line. How about Caleb Joseph, guys? Stat of the day. He tied a Baltimore record for catchers with a home run in four straight games, and he's 3% owned. 22 home runs last year in the minors.
Yeah.
Whose record did he tie?
Oh, somebody I'd never heard of in like the 50s or 60s, and somebody
in 1990
something.
Yeah, because it seems like a pretty rare feat for any catcher.
Yeah, Hernandez was one. That was the more recent one.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember the other guy. And yeah, I was kind of surprised that it had happened twice.
I was thinking like Chris Hoyles.
Could have been him, yeah.
But it wasn't.
No. Does anybody have any interest in Caleb Joseph?
You know, I had picked him up in our AL-only league when he first got called up. And I dropped him pretty quickly. So, that's just a way of saying I really underestimated him. And I do have some interest now in deep leagues, except it's probably too late in some of them.
Well, I mean, he is only 3% owned, right?
Yeah.
It's not. And like you said, he had 22 home runs at AA last year. So there's some power potential there. I don't think this is totally phony baloney. But, I actually have him as my starting catcher.
This week.
Yeah. And part of that's because there's only so many options to choose from.
Yeah.
But still, good
matchups, and he's on a hot streak. And really, it goes back longer than the home runs. 294 in his last 21 games.
Wow.
So he's...
I bet you like him better than J.P. Arencibia, don't you?
Next week I do. And yeah, I'm going to say overall I do. Sure.
Okay. Email of the day is from Matt P. in Houma, Louisiana. Is that right? Houma. The best way I always tell the two Chris Davises apart is to completely forget their first name and only refer to the first initial, plus Davis. K. Davis and C. Davis. I like that.
K. Davis, C. Davis.
I like it too.
I like the K-Riss Davis, though.
That's cool.
Maybe K-Riss Davis and C-Riss Davis.
Yeah, but that's just so wordy. It would drive me crazy.
It's awkward.
Well, but what if there's like a...
What
if there's like a Charles Davis one
day?
Well,
then we'll adjust.
Yeah. We'll make an adjustment.
But it's not good to keep changing things up.
I'm pretty confident that we can keep K. Davis and C. Davis going for a while.
Yeah, if I can avoid the K-Riss and C-Riss, I would like to.
Right.
And then if I'm forced into that position, I'll take it.
I agree. Thursday standouts. Okay, there were a lot. We'll get to the two homer guys in a second. So if you wouldn't mind holding off on Baez, Carter, and Wong, I'd appreciate that. So with that said, who would you like to talk about from yesterday's games? And just a reminder, we'll do two star pitchers, hitting starts and sits for next week. We'll talk about Shane Green, Kyle Hendricks, Rick Porcello, blah, blah, blah. Go for it.
I want to talk about Arizmendi
Alcantara.
Probably any name.
Whatever.
Because not only do we mispronounce his name, or at least I do still, but he's getting overshadowed by Javier Baez. And he hasn't been great lately, but yet when you look at what he's done so far, he's been up long enough, I think it's good time to sort of take stock. He's pretty much come as advertised. I think the batting average is a little bit lower, but not dramatically, than what I was expecting. But he's got the power and the steals.
Would you rather have Baez or Alcantara?
Oh, I'd rather have Baez.
Yeah, all right.
Rightfully overshadowed.
But yeah, he's sitting fifth now, which is interesting. He was batting second for a while. They called up Baez, and Alcantara started batting fifth.
And now Baez in that two-hole, which is a great spot for him with the contact skills and moving the runner over. Hashtag sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I was like, wait, what? Okay. You sold that very well.
Thank
Scott,
you.
It's your turn to nominate a player.
I want to talk about Colin McHugh because I think I'm back on board the McHugh ride here. Okay, so 7 innings, 1 run, 8 Ks yesterday, right? Great start. And that's been – he hasn't been getting any wins. I think he has 0 wins during this stretch, but – last 7 starts, he's gone 6 innings or more in 6 of them, overcoming some of the efficiency issues he was having in that middle stretch when everybody lost faith in him. And more than a K per inning during that stretch. The strikeouts have never left him, really. So he's what looked like he was kind of falling off the map in fantasy. He's climbed back out of it and has been basically the same pitcher he was at the very beginning. And he's only 44% owned, so...
And he's got 2 start week.
Yeah, sure.
Pick him up.
I mean, I think anybody who needs a starting pitcher, he's widely available now. He's as owned as Jake Peavy, and that's like to me, he's far better than Peavy.
Would you rather own McHugh or Hendricks?
I would rather own McHugh.
I would too, but yeah, for the 2 start pitchers, spoiler alert. Got McHugh ranked just ahead of Hendricks.
You own them both, Al, in the Memorial Roto League.
Well, yeah.
Could be a big week for you.
I hope so.
I hope not. Rooting against you vociferously.
Yeah, you've created some distance. I don't think you have to worry too much.
And Tobin nipping at my heels, the defending champ. Dustin Ackley, guys, 2 for 4 with a home run. That gives him 4 in his last 7 games. We dumped on him a little bit yesterday. Are we ready to take that dump off?
Well, that's awkward. No, I don't.
Intentionally awkward.
Yeah. See, I don't know. The recent power spike is interesting. I think that's kind of new for him. But I still feel like last 41 games last year, he hit .321. And then what happened to it at the start of the season? He was... went back to being the Dustin Ackley we've seen for most of his career. So this is an 18-game stretch where he's hit .360 with the power more recently. And I'm just not sure it's enough based on the way he's kind of teased us before. It's enough for me to buy in. I actually have him as my sit at second base this week.
I thought it had gone on longer than that. I thought it was like 30 games. Because in July he hit like .360. Of course, there was the All-Star break. Yeah, it basically started right at the beginning of July when he had a back-to-back 3-hit games.
All right.
So going into yesterday, he was hitting .346 over 29 games. But he hadn't hit any home runs until a week ago, and now he's hit 4.
Yeah.
So, okay, Colton Wong definitely ahead of Dustin Ackley?
Yeah.
Al?
Agreed.
How about... let's see what you have in the rankings. Tommy La Stella or Dustin Ackley?
Tommy La Stella by a lot.
Yeah, no. You may have him by a lot, but I have him by a little.
I can only count for my own rankings.
Yeah.
Would you drop Aaron Hill for Dustin Ackley?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Any other standouts from yesterday?
Well, you gave us a whole list of people we can't talk about, so.
Just 3.
Well, it was like 3 that I wanted to talk about.
The 3 biggest standouts.
All right, well, let's talk about somebody who, well, I guess he stood out yesterday, but hasn't been standing out much this year, Starling Marte.
Yeah.
And do we need to revisit him and put him in a different light? Because going into the year, I saw him as one of the more elite stolen base options in Roto, and he just hasn't hit enough to really put him even, I think, close to the Billy Hamilton territory. Plus, of course, he doesn't steal nearly as much either.
Right. Well, he's off to a good start since coming off the DL. Playing time shouldn't be an issue as long as McCutcheon's out. McCutcheon may not go on the DL, but seems like wishful thinking. So, yeah, where are you on Marte?
Yeah, I'm pretty lukewarm. I'm concerned. And I actually just picked him up in our Dynasty League. Part of a deal where I was
trade. I was like, somebody dropped him.
No.
It's a 2014 league.
in a trade. So I'm not giving up hope. I'm really you know, hoping that he rebounds, that I've got something invested, but in a dynasty league, no less. But I'm not sure that that's well-placed hope, because he seems like he's right back to where he was as a rookie with the, remember how much we talked about the questionable plate discipline and, you know, where the skill is going to translate. And it just seems like he's taken a full step back.
How do you guys feel about Kyle Hendricks and Shane Green? They're owned in about the same amount of leagues. Hendricks has a 2.10 ERA after a good start at Colorado. And Shane Green gave up 5 hits in 8-plus innings, no runs against Detroit. He's got a 2.89 ERA.
I think Shane Green is a little punk who needs to know his place.
He's good.
And when I predict him as a sit in the daily segment on Fantasy Baseball Today, he needs to do me a favor and stink.
He's got to learn to play the game the wrong way.
Yeah, that's right. I don't. So you really like him that much, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about this much.
Two really good starts out of six, something like that. And there's been some okay ones.
That sounds
in
about
there.
Right. I think his first start was decent.
Yeah.
He had three bad ones in a row. But I always, and I saw all but one of them, and I always felt like he was pitching better than the line would indicate. So I think he's okay. I mean, I don't think he's a must own or anything. I'd much rather have Hendricks.
Oh,
assuming
okay.
You guys would too.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say much rather. I think they're...
I guess if I needed wins, maybe
I would
go for Shane Green.
They're both outside my top 90. Let's put it that way.
All right.
I mean, you go that deep into it, and maybe Ahaza feels better about Hendricks than that.
But. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I got Hendricks inside the top 90, and of course now I can't leave that alone, so I got to check. But I do like him quite a bit better than Green. Got him 91st.
I'm actually pretty sure I don't have him in there at all, but he should be just outside my top 90.
Well, you're the only one of the three of us that, well, three including Herc, that actually has Green ranked.
Ah.
So I probably need to remedy that. But yeah, it shows you that I do like Hendricks quite a bit more.
Green's a one-start guy, and like I can't. The only team that I can justify adding him is in our 14-team, 30-man roster league. But the other leagues, I was looking for Hendricks last night.
Oh yeah,
and didn't pick him up.
That's why you're backing Green so hard. He was kind of the fulcrum of the whole.
No,
dissolving of the Adam Herc Nando triumvirate.
I mean, it's easy for, I don't expect people to watch Yankees games like I do, but it's easy to look at his minor league numbers and to think he's no good, but then you look at his stuff and he looks a lot like Brandon McCarthy, whose stuff is much better than the numbers. They've got good breaking balls. They throw 95 miles per hour. They throw sinkers. So I think Green is better than people give him credit for, but not a must-own or anything like that.
It's not easy to be him.
All right, injuries, news, and notes, part one. McCutcheon, as I mentioned, may avoid the DL. The Cubs claimed Cole Hamels off waivers. So we'll see what the next move is there. He could just go back to the Phillies, or he could end up with the Cubs or some other team. The Dodgers acquired Roberto Hernandez from Philadelphia, and that means Beckett might be out for the year. Looks like he's going on the DL again, and could be season-ending for him with the hip injury. Cleveland trying to keep Danny Salazar's innings, you know, manageable. So he could be back right after the required 10 days. Is that fair to say?
I think so. Again, there's an opening in the Indians rotation on that very day, which is a week from Saturday.
And Carrasco is pitching Sunday. Are you guys making any moves for Carlos Carrasco?
I picked him up in the same AL-only league where I once dropped Caleb Joseph, who I just almost called Joseph Caleb. Yeah, so that's the extent of it. And I really wouldn't go beyond that because the Indians have several days off in the next week and a half. So they barely need four starters, much less five.
Melky Cabrera day-to-day, he was hit by a pitch on the elbow. X-rays were negative. Alex Rios cleared waivers. He can be traded to any team. George Springer's quad setback was only minor, and he'll be reevaluated today. Dexter Fowler expected to begin a rehab assignment today. Kyle Blanks will begin a rehab assignment Sunday. How might that screw things up in Oakland?
Yeah, maybe it cuts into playing time for Sam Fold and Johnny Gomes a little.
Not Brandon Moss.
It could.
I guess, yeah.
Blanks plays the same positions, and he really does hit lefties well.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening.
Hey, Blanks, if you want to get injured again, I wouldn't complain. Ubaldo Jimenez will rejoin the Baltimore rotation Saturday. So who's out?
I honestly don't know. Because that was an overnight development. And I went and reset the probables yesterday. So
who's bad? Well, Ubaldo's bad.
Yeah, it should be him.
Who's bad? It's not going to be Chen. It's not going to be
Norris. The first person I think of is Gosman, who hasn't really been that bad.
I fear it will be Gosman.
But that is my deepest, darkest fear.
It's not going to be Tillman.
Oh, he could return out of the bullpen, apparently. Ubaldo Jimenez.
Oh.
According to the Baltimore Sun.
Why not? He is supposed to start, though, as I understand it.
From August 6th, August 6th article in the Baltimore Sun says he could come out of the bullpen. So.
I tell you what.
So that's old?
It looks like Gosman and Bud Norris are scheduled to start Saturday and Sunday. Maybe it's one of them. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
You talk amongst yourselves and
see if you have better
get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, better skills than I do. Chicago relief pitcher Matt Lindstrom could be back next week. Zach Putnam should be back tonight. Do you guys think Lindstrom will be the closer?
Well, I know based on a trade Al and I just made in that same AL only league, right, where you dropped Caleb Joseph.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that league's getting a lot of play today.
Yeah. Al's banking on it because we swapped Willingham. I got Willingham. He got Lindstrom. I'm not as sure, which is why I was willing to make that deal for somebody like Josh Willingham.
Yeah.
But it's not like anybody's really seized the job there in his absence.
Right. Bryce Harper homered. Walk-off homer. Henry Mejia dealing with a tight calf. So you're going to check on that. Jerry's Familia has been pitching very well. Scooter Gennett sat for precautionary reasons. Edwin Encarnacion could begin a rehab assignment this weekend. Trevor Rosenthal was unavailable yesterday. David Ortiz sat in an NL Park for the second straight game. Now he has two games at Cincinnati next week, and then he has three at Pittsburgh in September. We'll worry about that in September, but two out of three he sat in St. Louis. So should we sit him next week, Scott?
I would probably not.
Yeah,
it's only two games.
Maybe he'll play one.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a good chance he plays one. It's tough to say sit him or Napoli, actually.
Want an Orioles update?
Yeah.
All right. So it's a good thing I don't know.
Or an Oreos update, as we said on the video show yesterday.
Yeah, we did a very thorough Oreos update yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know who's
on second.
Who's out or on first or second. And that's okay because neither does Buck Showalter.
Oh, okay.
But it will be either Gosman or Norris starting on Sunday with Ubaldo starting on Saturday. I know both of those guys have options. Also, either could move to the bullpen, and a bullpen move has not been ruled out for any starter.
Gotcha. D. Gordon sat against the lefty. Cole Calhoun sat against the lefty. Roenis Elias was sent down to AAA to have his innings managed. He should be back in 10 days. Brandon Belt feeling sick, and let's hope it's not related to the concussion. All right, we go to the two-homer club.
Finally.
Baez, two at Colorado. Carter, two at Philadelphia. Third two-homer game in the last month for Chris Carter, who now has 24 ding-dongs. And Colton Wong, again, came off the DL July 6th. He's the number one second baseman in fantasy since then with a overall 247 batting average on the season. Nine homers, 31 RBI, 32 runs, 17 steals in 70 games.
Can we do a little experiment?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just said ding-dongs?
Yeah.
Can you say that again?
Ding-dongs.
And then can you say dingers?
Dingers.
Yeah, you pronounce G totally differently in one than the other.
Ding-dongs. Dingers.
Well, now you're thinking about it.
I say the G more emphatically in dingers, right?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, because there's another syllable after.
Dingers.
Ding-dong. Dingers. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for pointing out my flaws.
It's not a flaw. It's a quirk.
I hate you. I'm never coming back. All right. Discuss these three.
Well, we know Herc can do the... the lead into the show.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Baez, Carter, Wong.
All right, so who do you want to start with here? I guess Baez, even though he's the most owned, because, wow, what a start. Three home runs in three games. Two of them have gone the opposite way, basically the same spot. And I believe... like, I haven't verified this, but just judging from his quotes after the game, judging by what he says, two of them have come on breaking balls. A slider yesterday, and I think the first one was off a curveball, he said. So that's a really encouraging sign for a player who, a young player, first of all, and one who has trouble swinging, making consistent contact. Manny Ramirez, that's one of the things he was supposed to specialize in, is teaching hitters to hit breaking balls. Like, he has a way of explaining it and demonstrating it that apparently is rare. It's part of the reason the Cubs were excited about getting him as this player in this player coach role at AAA. And we saw Baez improve in the last few weeks there. The strikeout rate drop, it was still high, but drop a good bit. And then, look, he's hitting breaking balls out of the park. At Coors Field, I'll admit, but still, I think there's a lot of things to be encouraged about here.
Okay, but that is, you know, that is an important part of this. It was at Coors Field.
Yeah, but he, as Scott pointed out, two of them opposite way.
Yeah.
You know, to a deep part of the park.
Well, I mean, his value is probably pretty high right now. I know we had one email said, should I sell high on Javier Baez? How do you guys feel about that?
I saw that, and you know, maybe it's just because the way I manage my teams, it would never even occur to me to do that.
Like, he's still 84% owned, which is about Eric Ibar range. You know, it's not like he's widely available or anything, but I think it's kind of an indication that he's not seen as like this super stud, start him every week type yet. Mm-hmm. And
I think I'd have to disagree.
Time.
I look at Kyle Hendricks only being owned in 28% of leagues, and I just start to wonder if we're in week 19, there's some disinterest, people have been eliminated, and guys aren't being picked up. Like, this time, or Javier Baez a month and a half ago might be 100% owned based on hitting three home runs in three games.
I could buy kind of a halfway argument there. I don't know about 100%, but yeah, maybe there would have been more interest. I think there's something to that.
Like, I can't believe Hendricks is still so...
I just don't know.
In so few leagues.
I don't think it ever hurts to put somebody on the market, but I just have a hard time believing that his value has gone up that much in three days. That it's really worth your time.
Yeah.
To trade him when, you know, maybe there's somebody else you could be looking to deal.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, it's not that I can't believe that Hendricks is owned in 28% of leagues because I think he's amazing or anything. It's just I know how people react to pitchers who put together a string of four good starts.
Okay.
And that's what I meant. That usually it's like you see that momentum carry with the ownership percentage.
And, you know, and maybe we'll see that in the next couple of days after a good start Coors Field and a two-start week coming up and, you know, that momentum being built.
Okay, so Chris Carter.
No. I wanted to say one more thing about Baez.
Go ahead.
Because I don't want to overstate it either. And, you know, he's hitting 180 next week and everybody's like, how could you do this to me? To me? I think there's not a great chance he hits much better than 230. But if he hits 230 on a 30-homer pace the rest of the way, that's basically Ian Desmond-like production. He's not getting quite the steals of Desmond, but more home runs. And that's going to be still must start, I think.
Chris Carter, 77% owned. 225 batting average, which is awesome for him.
It is.
24 homers, 57 RBI, and his third two-homer game in the last month. 23rd best first baseman in points leagues this year. 17th best in Roto.
See, I'm just thinking Mark Reynolds here. Like, this looks really great. But my gut just tells me, you know, 2 weeks from now, he's going to be in some horrible ofer, and you'll have regretted putting trust in him.
So your body's saying, let's go, but your heart's saying no.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere.
But it's already.
Know where?
I can't place it.
I don't know where either, sorry.
I'll feel stupid when you tell me.
That would be Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll feel stupid.
I kind of agree with your assessment of Carter there, Al Melchior. But it has gone on a lot longer than I expected to in the first place. And at least for this next week, because the Astros have the best matchups of any team, going to put faith in Carter at least once more.
Okay.
Hopefully he doesn't burn me.
You were also signing.
Yeah,
that.
I noticed that. He was like, I was going to say something, but there's no visual in this medium. Scott was doing this weird thing with his hands. Looked like he was signing Heal the World. Colton Wong is 59% owned, and he's batting .247 on the year with 9 home runs, 17 steals in 70 games. And he was cold. I actually dropped him for Javier Baez a few days ago. And then I picked him back up this morning when I saw he was the number one second baseman since he came off the DL.
Well, can't beat yourself up too much for dropping him then, right?
For Baez?
You were able to pick him back. Well,
fact that nobody else picked him up. And, you know, when he went cold pretty recently, I just said to myself, okay, well, he was not good really in the early part of the season. So maybe when he got hot coming off the DL, it was just a hot streak. And now he's going back to being not so good. Now he's hot again, so I'll take the shot. I'll take the shot. Yeah. What do you guys think about Wong? Is he under-owned at 59%?
Look, he has 9 home runs and 17 steals this year.
I know. It's great. In 70 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a year.
I mean, his on-base percentage, batting average could stand to be higher. But I think in all but the standard head-to-head one second baseman per team leagues, that's a guy who not only needs to be owned, but probably started in the majority of leagues. I mean,
Alcantara or Wong?
I'm still going to take Alcantara there because I think there's maybe even more power and speed potential, and because he's shortstop eligible, and because we don't have to worry about him potentially sitting against lefties, which the Cardinals haven't faced in a long time. But Wong deserves to be in that discussion, yes.
Yeah, I've got Alcantara ahead. For now, I'll say I'll keep him there. But something I'm going to look at, because with what Wong is doing, he could equal the power and steals of Alcantara, and he's a much better contact hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have this all wrong.
Would you guys go Jerko or Wong?
I would go Wong, and I do that long term, too. I think he's going to be a better player. I committed to him over Jerko in that dynasty league we referred to earlier. I actually traded Wong away earlier this season, regretted it, got him back, traded Jerko away to Nando for what it's worth, and maximized my return there. And I feel like Wong's going to be the better player long term, which I don't mean as a knock on Jerko. I just think Wong's that good.
And at least for now, I still like Jerko better. I'm also reminded of a tweet I received the other day to alert me to look forward next year to a Wada Jerko matchup.
Oh, I was thinking a Jerko Wong matchup, which would be the dirtiest matchup in second base history.
I can't believe you brought it up.
I can't believe you went there.
Really? Yeah. You can believe it.
I can't.
Because I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
How dare you,
Mr. Christina Aguilera over there. All right, next category. Billy Joel reference. Mama, if that's breaking up, then I'm breaking out. It's a stretch, but these are breakout guys.
This is all you get when you move to Hackensack?
Yeah, I guess so. So, Rick Porcello. I just wanted to talk about two pitchers. I had to put DeGrom in here because he just didn't fit in any other categories. So, Porcello, with 7 innings of 1-run ball and entered that start yesterday at the Yankees with a 1.99 ERA in his previous 8 starts. Willie Peralta, who's 14-6 with a 3.42 ERA and top 30 starting pitcher this year. And Jacob deGrom, who has a 2.87 ERA, gave up 3 runs on 7 hits in 6 innings at Washington. That was his worst start in his last 6. Thoughts on Porcello, Peralta, deGrom?
Well, deGrom's pretty close to must start for me at this point. And Porcello's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
So probably 3 weeks ago, I would have liked Peralta the best of the three, and now I think I like him the least, and that's not to slight Peralta.
DeGrom has the Cubs and the Nationals next week.
You know who Porcello has become? Because his walk rate is ridiculous this year.
Hmm.
He's become Doug Fister.
I was thinking Tim Hudson.
Oh. I was thinking Kyle Loesch, but they're all three the same guy, right?
So I think Doug Fister stands out from that group now and did coming into the year, too. And I think Porcello has joined him. I think there's maybe it can. I don't know what it is that distinguishes Pfister from those other two. Maybe a consistency aspect. But I think Porcello's joined him.
I wonder if, you know, Nando talked about this earlier in the year. The defense was supposed to be so much better. That was before they lost Iglesias for the year. But even still, like, watching Kinsler these last four games, I didn't appreciate how good of a defender he is. He's been awesome. And Cabrera moving him away from third base, putting him on first, probably helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good their shortstops have been defensively, but it's probably helping Porcello.
I'm going to look up his BABIP right now, but I was surprised to see the other day that the Tigers are still one of the two or three worst teams in baseball in terms of batting average allowed on grounders. So,
really?
But I think Porcello's BABIP's way down this year. So good for you, Rick Porcello. 278 right now. So, yeah, it's helping him.
Okay. the Worryometer. All right. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Uh-oh.
This is not 0 to 10, just like 10 in overall concern for Adam Wainwright, because nobody's dropping him. Nobody's sitting him. And you look at the line yesterday, 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. When I saw the box score, it was like the third inning, and he had given up 2 runs, I think, on 6 hits. And he had struggled in his previous start. He had struggled 2 starts before that, and I said, all right, I want to see Adam Wainwright here. He's not throwing hard. His velocity's down. His curveball's still incredible. Gave up a lot of long fly balls in this game. I don't know if he has such a good start. It ended up being 2 runs in 7 innings with 7 Ks. If he's not in Busch Stadium, right? Or Field?
Stadium.
Yeah. I don't know if he has that good of a start if he's not at home. The Ks have been way down since July. 29 with 17 walks in his last 45 and 2/3. So let's break out that Wainwright Worryometer.
Well, and you didn't even mention the part that I'm most worried about, which was not an issue in this start, which was with the control, has not been good at all in his recent starts. Yeah,
well, I mean, 17 walks over his last 6 starts isn't great, but you're right. I didn't specifically mention that.
Is his velocity actually down?
I feel like
he's a low 90s
yesterday
pitcher ordinarily.
I mean, year over year, it's down a little bit. I don't know if it's a huge deal, but it is down. I looked at it last night while I was watching the game. And again, I mean, I watched from the third inning on. I didn't see him hit 90 miles per hour once. He was throwing consistently 89. But yeah, anyway.
Because that would be the only thing that worried me. The rest to me seems like just in-season. Darn it, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm sure there's some statty term I could use. In-season variation or something. I don't know.
Works for me.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this on the podcast the other day, but I did a blog specifically about Wainwright and how worried I am about him. Notice I'm evading the whole question here, too, that you asked. And I just want to get back to the control thing, because it's not really showing up that much in terms of the walks, which, you know, is obviously where it's going to bother you. But I worry that it will show up in the walks, because he was among, over the, I think it was the last 30 days, the worst pitchers, both in terms of pitching out of the strike zone and getting a low ratio of swings on pitches out of the strike zone.
Okay.
Not good. I mean, it was right. Tim Lincecum, Giovanni Gallardo territory. Or no, maybe it was Gallardo. It was Lincecum and somebody else. Oh, Liriano. I'm sorry, not Gallardo.
But it is just 30 days.
It is just 30 days. And so Wainwright, as much as anybody, you could trust to turn that around.
And what would cause that? If the velocity is down significantly, I mean, it brings up the possibility of an injury.
It's down from last year, but looking at 2 years ago, it's basically the same. Same time of year.
I feel like we're kind of
nitpicking.
I feel that way. Yes.
All right, so let's get to Worryometer. how are we calibrating it?
Just a general Worryometer. How worried are you about Wainwright?
Well, no, because, I mean, dropping, we're not
sit,
dropping.
Tends so to sit.
A sit. He's a 3 for me, but I've been working on and off the last 2 weeks on a trade to trade him away in Tout War. So this is 15-team mixed. And the initial deal on the table was for me to get back Zach Greinke and Danny Salazar. And I was ready to pull the switch on that last night. Now I've gotten a counteroffer back, which is Julio Teheran.
Only Julio Teheran.
Straight up for Wainwright?
Yeah. And I don't think I'm taking that.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that.
But I would consider Tehran and Salazar.
Last week you took...
So that moves the needle on Wainwright.
Last week you took Arrieta and Kennedy for Wainwright and immediately regretted your decision.
Yeah. but that had to do with Arrieta's upcoming start at Coors, which then proved me totally right to have regret.
So fine.
Yeah.
Would you do it right now? No more Coors start. You take Arrieta and Kennedy for Wainwright?
Given the situation that team is in, yeah, I would.
Right. You needed starting pitchers.
You know what I'd take for Wainwright?
What?
Tehran and Greinke.
All right. You're still quite high.
I have a feeling you're not going to get that.
All right. Let's move on. Sorry. I want to get to the starts and sits for next week. CJ Wilson. 10's a drop. He's dealing with a hip issue. And he got really wild last night. Four walks. And it all fell apart in like the third inning. He walked two guys and had a crappy inning. And then he had another shaky inning later on. Anyway, 10's a drop. CJ Wilson.
7.
8.
Would you drop him for Kyle Hendricks?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Would you drop him for Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah.
I would. Yeah, I'd do that.
Wow, I'm surprised how quickly I said that. But yes.
I can't believe I just almost called him Willie Nelson. And Steve Cishek on the Worryometer gave up 4 hits and 2 runs in 2/3 of an inning. First time pitching since August 2nd. But last 4 appearances for Cishek, 4 innings, 10 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts.
Hmm.
4? Sounds good.
Yeah, I think I'll go 2.
I'm going to breeze through 4 up and 4 down. Ready?
Yep.
4 up, number 1, Daniel Murphy, having another really good year. He's the number 7 second baseman in fantasy. He's red hot, 4 straight multi-hit games. Is he, you know, legit this year, last year?
Yes.
Yep.
Angel Pagan, 66% owned, returned, went 2-for-5. Is he under-owned?
No.
Maybe. Yeah, I'd say a little under-owned.
Would you rather have Ozuna or Pagan?
Pagan.
In points leagues, I'd rather have Pagan. I think he's Denard Span-like in points leagues, in that while the overall line doesn't usually look great, the points are there.
Gregory Polanco, since being called up on June 10th, he is the number 17 outfielder in points leagues, number 15 in Roto, and he has gotten back on track. A double and 4 RBI yesterday, and he's having a good year. We'll skip him. Because next week I want to look at all the call-ups and how they're doing.
Mm.
See if we can make any determinations about just the, you know, the idea of rookie hitters. Norichika Aoki is 30% owned, and he's having a good August, batting .292 with a grand slam and a steal, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts. Is Aoki under-owned?
I'm going to say no. He hasn't been stealing, really. And that was his one and only home run this season. Yeah. So there's not, he doesn't have a lot to offer.
Nick Castellanos leads off 4 down, 46% owned, and really just having a bad year for fantasy purposes anyway. Number 30 third baseman in fantasy. Should he be owned in 46% of leagues?
I have no problem with that number falling. I don't have a lot of use for him. I do think he's over-owned. I just talked myself into it.
Would you drop him for Plouffe?
Yeah, I would.
Solarte.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Moustakas.
Whoa.
All right, no.
I was pressing the buttons on this table, and suddenly it
started
moving.
Can't do that. It moves up and down.
And is that a bad thing? You said I can't
well,
do it?
Well, it's a bad thing now, because you might unplug something.
Okay.
Otherwise, go nuts.
I'll play with it when we're done.
You know,
Jason
in a previous iteration of this show, that would have continued. Somebody would have continued to press the button
until
something got unplugged.
Jason Kipnis and J.J. Hardy, still waiting for them to come around.
Yeah, we are. And it's getting late. I don't know. I think in Kipnis's case, because there's such a wide variety of things he can do for you, I just stick with him and trust it'll eventually work out okay.
Okay.
Hardy, though.
There's pretty much one thing he can do for you.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't been doing it.
Right.
And I think he'll do more of it going forward, but yeah, I've kind of given up on the idea that he's a top 10 shortstop. I'm going to hit for enough power to make him that.
Josh Donaldson, 5 for his last 25 since his last home run. You look at his numbers, 244, 23 homers, 78 RBI, only 18 doubles. Still a top 3 third baseman in fantasy, and his point per plate appearance production is basically the same as it was last year. And not only that, It's basically the same as Matt Carpenter last year, who finished as the number two third baseman in fantasy. So I think just the fact that Donaldson has hit 23 home runs at this point is sort of compensated for doubles being a little bit low and batting average being lower than it was last year.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't really talked about Carpenter much, but the doubles power hasn't really shown up this year.
He's been a bust.
Yeah.
A bust?
A bust.
I agree.
Oh,
especially
no way.
In Roto.
You can't call especially a must-start option a bust.
I don't know that he's a must-start option.
He's
if you have Colton Wong
option.
Right now, who are you starting?
Carpenter. He's on pace for 100 runs scored.
But where's he? Isn't he ranking like around 9th or 10th or something?
Yeah, I mean, but that's must-start in a Roto league with
I think you can
spot.
Call a must-start guy a bust
when you
drafted him in the second or third round.
He hasn't lived up to where you drafted him, but he's not a bust. A bust is Bryce Harper. He's a bust.
Well,
he's a milder bust. But no, Carpenter's a bust. He's clearly underperformed based on draft position. He's not close.
He's ninth in points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12th in Roto.
I wouldn't call that a bust. Would you call Robinson Cano a bust?
No, because Cano is top 5 or top 6 second baseman. But yeah, he's a minor bust, yeah. Because he was supposed to separate himself from the field.
A bust is you expected the world from them, you got nothing. That's my idea of a bust.
I think there's some gray area.
Okay, well, it's semantics. Let's do some notes real quick, and then next week starts and sits, and then emails. Adam Lind will likely be back Monday. Carlos Rodon, the first-round pick for the White Sox, could pitch out of the bullpen later this year. Stephen Vogt homered to snap an 0-for-23. Torii Hunter, Mark Teixeira, both day-to-day. Jed Lowrie could start tonight, bruised index finger. Neil Walker was out again with the back injury. The White Sox sent Andre Rienzo down to the minors. Andrelton Simmons may not be able to return today due to his ankle injury. They're still hoping he can avoid the DL. Scott, 3 minutes. Hitters, do it.
All right, well, I've mentioned a lot of my starts already throughout the show. I kind of peppered them in.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
I like how I did that.
Yeah,
Caleb Joseph, Chris Carter. I'm not sure I mentioned it for Wong, but Colton Wong is my start at second base because the Cardinals have pretty good matchups, and 6 of them are right-handed, so we don't have to worry about the possibility of Mark Ellis cutting into his at-bats, which is something that's been that case for a few weeks now. Bunch of right-handers. So anyway, the good matchups. We got the Astros number 1. That's why I like Carter. The Reds number 2. The Rays 3rd. The Marlins 4th. And the Diamondbacks 5th. Bad matchups this week. We have the Pirates 1st. Followed by the Braves, the Mets, the Mariners, and the Blue Jays. All bad matchups for those guys. That's why I don't like Ackley. I mentioned him as a sit.
Okay.
Some other starts for this week. The Rockies weren't among the best matchups. Games at home, and all 7 of their games are against right-handers. You know what that means. Corey Dickerson.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Stick in the lineup.
It better be.
And he's like a .333 hitter against righties still. So I know it hasn't been as hot recently, but with the consistent at-bats this week and 4 games at home, I think there's a good chance.
Big week.
Yeah.
Big week.
Good chance. Danny Santana. He's been red hot since returning from the DL. And the Twins, while not among the 5 best matchups, there's a pretty good also, the 3 games against the Astros to begin the week. So I think Danny Santana, for this week, I like him better than Alcantara. I like him better than Baez this week. Not that I think Baez is a bad start, but Danny Santana is my start at shortstop. Let's get a couple sits in here.
Let me ask you one.
Sure.
Chris Davis. C. Davis.
I would lean towards starting him this week. I do like the Orioles matchups enough. And he's had a couple home runs recently. I like Chris Carter more, but Davis is okay. Some sits. Pedro Alvarez. I mentioned the Pirates have the worst matchups this week, and there's still questions about his playing time. No reason to mess with that. I mentioned Ackley. I would go Curtis Granderson, too. Terrible numbers at home where the Mets are this whole week. Well, 6 of their 7 games. Terrible numbers against righties, believe it or not. He's been better against lefties this season, like 200 against righties. And 6 of the 7 pitchers they're facing are righties. And like I said, they're among the worst matchups. So he's a sit. I would say Eric Ibar, as cold as he's been, is a sit. He's on one of four teams playing five games. Now, none of them are against especially tough pitchers for any of those four teams, which is annoying to rank matchups that way. But the Angels play five, the White Sox play five, the Giants play five, and the... Who am I missing here? I'm missing the... is it just four, three teams? Maybe it's just three teams that play five games. Okay, so White Sox, Angels, and Giants play five games, so approach those guys with a little more discernment than usual.
Oh, I like that word. That's a nice word.
Yes.
All right, Al, let's do some two-star pitchers. You ready?
I'm ready. I can do this in 3 minutes, I think.
Starters at Wainwright.
Start them.
Okay.
Maybe trade them, but no, start them.
Oh, the Reds play five games. That was the other team I'm missing. Ah. Sorry. No, they don't. Never mind. The Indians.
Somebody in Ohio.
Starter sit Hyunjin Ryu. Of course you're going to start him because he's amazing. How about...
Not arguing.
Jesse Hahn.
You could start him, but he's towards the bottom of my borderline list this week. I think he's starting to show his true colors. And
Sorry,
I really did set you up for that. Now I regret it.
Feeling very musical today.
So, yeah, Han, Rocky's at home and at the Cardinals. So, okay matchups, good venues. But, yeah, not really. He's pitching more to contact, and I think that makes him more vulnerable.
Any scenario where you're sitting Gallardo, Ventura, Peralta, Shelby Miller?
Sure. In fact, the leagues that you mentioned where I picked up Hendricks and McHugh, I've got them both ranked ahead of all three this week.
Oh, but I said four names. But I'm assuming Ventura is a must-start for you?
That is correct.
So we're going Gallardo, Peralta, and Shelby Miller.
All right. So all three are borderline starts, and you're saying that's the order? Because I've got Miller ahead of the Brewers. Duo.
Really.
And
well, Miller has great matchups.
He does have great matchups. Yep. At the Marlins, at home versus the Padres.
Yeah.
So, no, great matchups. And I think we talked about this yesterday, maybe not on the podcast, but on Fantasy Baseball Today, how Miller, now that he's got better control, the biggest worry with him is the fly ball rate, and at home and at places like Marlins Park, no worries there.
Okay, Chen, Yankees and at Indians. That's way in.
Yeah.
Jonathan Neese, no chance am I starting him.
Good call.
Drew Smyly at Texas and home against the Yankees. Tom Kohler, St. Louis at home, Arizona at home. Drew Hutchison.
Oh, you're just piling on here.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, all right, who do you like?
All right, those last three. So Smyly, I like. Kohler I like a lot. I actually wanted to pick Kohler up in leagues and just didn't have enough spot. Either he was taken already, or I'd already filled up spots with better pitchers.
Okay,
but I like him this week, so I looked into him. He's almost must start Kohler because he's been really good at home. And Smyly, let me take a look at the matchups there real quick.
At Texas, home against the Yankees.
Yeah, so okay, a little worried about at Texas, but the Rangers don't scare me much right now. So Smiley's pretty safe. Hutchison is the last of my borderline starters, and he pretty much earned that with his last start, but he's been awfully inconsistent, so I'd pass on Hutchison if at all possible. Good call on Neese. He is just getting hammered lately, and there was one other that I didn't like there.
Wei and Chen?
Yeah.
All right, big one, guys. Mike Minor, Dodgers and Raiders at home.
Raiders.
Dodgers and A's at home.
Yeah, no, I'm just not trusting Minor right now. He's going to have to prove himself all over again.
I agree with that. It's just been so bad. And I think he will eventually get back on track, but I'm not going to count on it this week.
I know you don't trust Dan Heron.
Nope.
McHugh or Kohler?
McHugh. I've got them pretty close in the weekly rankings. But, yeah, McHugh gets the edge.
How about Joe Kelly at Cincinnati, home against Houston?
Nope. Still having the control issues, inconsistency. Don't trust him at all.
And now deeper leagues, we got Volquez, who had a good start last night, Cole Mentor, Kyle Hendricks. What's up? It's so funny.
I'm sorry, just the name Joe Kelly. It's so Dame Perry, you know, right? Dame Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
In addition to our site, he writes for NotGraphs.
Now I know this is funny.
The side of the like offbeat side of FanGraphs. And about a year and a half ago, I just stumbled on it recently, but about a year and a half ago, he wrote a piece for them. The all first letter of the first name and last name inverted team, where he just swapped the first letter of the first name with the first letter of the last name and made funny names out of it.
Right.
Before you mentioned, when we mentioned Cole Hamels, yeah, I had a little chuckle then, because every time I see his name now, I think of Whole Camels, which was
funny.
Yeah. And then Joe Kelly was one who just missed. Co-Jelly. Yeah.
And the manager of the team was?
Suck Bo Walter.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, now we're running out of time, so just take
I'm
us
sorry.
Through. No, that's okay.
I like Heil Kendricks.
Okay.
And in honor of Dane Perry. And the other ones you mentioned, I don't remember who they all were, because that was about 5 minutes ago, but yeah. I don't think I liked any of them.
There's some decent options here for...
All right, I've got the list, so let me just scan it real quick.
Colby Lewis?
No, I considered him. He didn't make the cut. Volk has just missed the cut. Cole Mentor, don't trust him at Cleveland, even though he gets the Marlins later in the week. So don't start Cole Mentor. That's about it.
Let's do some emails.
Kosh Joel Mentor.
At fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I've got like a whole bunch of papers here. I'm getting confused. Sorry. All right, email number one. Kyle asks, which pitcher is a better stash, Pineda or Salazar?
Salazar.
I agree.
Angel from Milwaukee, 12-team head-to-head points. Need to pick up two, Alcantara, Baez, Jerko, Ackley.
Baez and Alcantara.
I'm swapping Jerko for Alcantara.
Can I drop John Neese? This is from Ben in the Metro D.C. area. I need to decide by Sunday. It's a points league. I could add Vogelsong, Hutchison, or Gibson.
Yeah, I do. I'm not crazy about the three options. I actually do like Gibson better at this point, so I do that swap.
Okay. David in New York City. Dear Trey, Mike, and Paige. Could be Fish. I'll look it up. Approve the move. Roto, drop Taiwan Walker, claim Jimmy Nelson.
Heartily.
I approve.
Dear Jeffrey.
You said heartily and not hardly, just
yes.
to clarify.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that could have been...
Yeah.
Woo, that could be bad.
I have no name here, so let's say it's from Pete. Hey, Jeffrey, Benson, and Gerard. I know the answer to this.
How do you feel about Jeffrey, G-E-O, like that?
It's actually Joffrey. Joffrey, Benson, and Gerard.
Is it pronounced Joffrey, really?
Yeah. Oh.
In a 16-team head-to-head keeper league. 5 keepers, no cost or year limits. Keepers are a 3-2 ratio. I'm currently pitching heavy. Well, he's not pitching heavy. He's pitching heavy.
He's trading Tanaka and Yordano Ventura for Bryce Harper.
I don't like it.
No. Mistake.
That was Fish, by the way. And Joffrey, Benson, and Gerard are Butlers.
That's the only thing I could think of because of Benson.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
Joffrey's the Fresh Prince Butler.
But I thought he was Jeffrey.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Oh, he is Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Oh crap. Why did I think he was Joffrey?
I don't know.
And who's Gerard? That's the one that really threw me off.
Isn't Gerard Butler a person?
Oh yeah.
Jeffrey.
But does he say his name Joffrey?
I don't think so. But Scott seems to be the resident Fresh Prince expert.
I'm actually not. I've probably watched like 5 episodes ever, but I remember it was Jeffrey.
It should be Joffrey. He's a freaking butler. Daniel from La Jolla. No, I did not say La Jolla. Who's a better middle infield option for next week and going forward? Javier Baez or Colton Wong? How relevant?
Yeah, Baez.
Yep.
And one more. Mike in Oregon. Approve the move. I trade Rendon, an 18th round keeper, and a 5th round pick for... a 7th round pick, Josh Donaldson, and Jeff Samardzija. I won't keep either of them in a 12-team category league. So he's in first place. He wants to lose.
He wants to win.
He wants to win.
I don't think it's enough. I think Rendon and Donaldson are close to, for this year, interchangeable right now. And Rendon's a great keeper there. I'm not sure Samardzija is enough of an add-on for me to give up the keeper value of Rendon there.
I agree with all that.
And a bag of chips. Thank you,
guys.
Bowl
of grits?
What?
Bag of chips and a bowl of grits.
Oh, that's a Southern thing. You just made that up.
No, I've heard it before.
In the South.
Okay, that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
You got a problem with that?
Actually, I think that's an upgrade. Bag of chips and a bowl of grits.
The bowl of grits?
I mean, yeah.
I would go with one of the other.
A lot of carbs. But. Go
guys, have a great weekend. Race. Go see a movie. Go see the comic book one. What's it called?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, go see that. It was good.
Yeah.
And watch fantasy baseball today. And we love you.